You're listening to the Star Wars Report, episode 71. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Star Wars Report podcast. I'm so glad that you've decided to tune in to episode 71. We may just hit 75 by the end of the year. I'll have to look at the calendar. I'm one of your hosts for this particular evening, Riley Blanton, and today we're going to cover a lot of great Star Wars news, discussion, announcements, all of the kinds of good things that's happening in that galaxy far, far away. And I'm very excited about tonight's show. But before we really get into the meat of the episode, let's bring on my sister and dear co-host, Bethany Blanton. How are you doing, Bethany?
I am doing quite well. Glad to be back to doing this. Still hoping we can become more regular with this because it's a lot of fun and I've missed doing regular live shows.
Yes, we're back live. We thank everyone who's tuning in live on our broadcast via Google Hangouts on my YouTube channel. That's kind of how we've got this this system working. You'll notice in the video version, guys, I've got a Christmas tree. Hello, Christmas tree. I am a sucker for Christmas, Bethany. Before we get into the main part
just
of the show, we went out on a great, fantastic Thanksgiving vacation to the Gulf of Mexico. I'll tell you what, it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Couldn't have had a better time. We went sailing along the coast with the in-laws, which was fortunately Bethany and I have a really amazing in-laws for family. So that was a fantastic Thanksgiving. But the product of which we didn't do a live show that week. But we did have a great time, and I was going somewhere with that, and I completely
lost it.
I was just going to gloat about how awesome our vacation was.
Well, you were talking about Christmas, and I think we're all sort of in the mood of the holidays, which is a little eclectic, very exciting.
It's beginning to look a lot.
Sometimes a bit nerve-wracking.
Like Christmas.
But see, I have this internal rule of, it is not a hard and fast one, but I don't like hearing Christmas music. Before Thanksgiving.
When voices are raised and the sounds of loud protest come from the upstairs of the house when Christmas music is played, I would say that's a pretty hard and fast rule, my friend. And that's what I was actually bringing. That's why I brought up the vacation, because while we were on the Gulf of Mexico in a 39-foot sailboat anchored between the Barrier Islands and Pensacola, Florida, there I was. Friday morning after Thanksgiving, after Bethany's permission time to play Christmas music, and there I was. I was going to blare the old Trans-Siberian Orchestra out nice
after
and
Thanksgiving
loud.
Is an ashes thin, you have my permission to play
Darth
Christmas
Vader
music.
Breathing. Darth Vader breathing.
Shout out for you, Steve.
Yes. Well, and as you might have noticed right now, Mark Curleman's not with us. He's actually in the chat, but he's going to be in and out tonight because his studio is want to become Dagobah. Or worse, Kamino at this point. One or the other. He's been dealing with some flooding in this house, and it doesn't look good. We definitely send thoughts and prayers out for that kind of stressful situation. But you know, when you're dealing with that kind of stuff, no one wants to deal with, you know, damaged books and his garage. I mean, it's just terrible, guys. So we're definitely thinking of you, Mark, and sorry that you're not able to make it live. But we look forward to talking to you next week and the week after, as always.
What he needs is one of those huts that people build in swamps, you know, where the hut is standing out of the water because it's staked on sticks. So you have a hut that's attached to all these poles. That, or you need a sailboat, Mark. You can live on a sailboat.
A sailboat.
Oh goodness!
Touche, touche. Yeah, tonight. All right, guys, we're really gonna get into this. We're gonna talk featuring Kathleen Kennedy in a great article that came out from IGN. We're gonna be talking about why do they have such contempt for abstract and modern art? Interesting discussion point. And yes, it does have something to do with Star Wars. We've got my brief review of my time playing Star Wars The Old Republic free to play. We've got Blu-ray, the clamoring for the saga to come on Blu-ray in its original form. The latest rumors about Star Wars Episode 7, including Matthew Vaughn directing and Lawrence Kasdan and Simon Kinberg writing some future Star Wars films. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tonight, and that's what you have in store for you for listening to this episode, should you choose to continue. That sounded kind of threatening. Should you choose to continue this podcast at your own peril, my friends?
Then you people are chatting. I want to stop and start chatting with them.
And we're bringing back the distraction.
I always do this.
Great. Yeah, I'm looking at the... Oh, my goodness. That's fantastic. All right. So before we get into the main meat of the episode, I do want to give a couple quick updates. I have been overwhelmed at the response that we've had to the Star Wars Report email mailing list that I set up 2 weeks ago. And I'll tell you what, I just announced it on the episode and put it out on Twitter. We've had already had over 20 of you guys sign up for our updates on email. And I just wanted to thank every one of you who've done so. We've got some, there are reasons to do so. We're going to treat you guys special, and it's, if nothing else, a great way to not miss updates. Because really, when it comes into social media, as I mentioned the other week, unfortunately, it has a tendency to really kind of delve into non-existence when it comes to the Facebook timeline, especially Facebook. Twitter's not so bad, but Twitter's also more cluttered, so it's really hard to tell. So if you really want to stay updated with what's going on with the Star Wars Report, you'll get a weekly email that's nice and formatted from the RSS feeds of the Star Wars Report main website. So you'll get a nice roundup of all the content that comes to StarWarsReport.com. That's Beyond the Star Wars, Beyond the Films, The Wampa's Lair, and of course our podcast, and then some great blog posts that we have scheduled each week that our team puts together. Mm-hmm. That's what you will get. So go over to StarWarsReport.com/mailing list, and that's where you can sign up for all that kind of weekly Star Wars awesomeness, and there's more to come. More to come. We'll keep you guys updated as we go. I mentioned the blogging initiative. I just wanted to give you guys an update. On StarWarsReport.com, I don't know what we've talked about enough on the podcast, but we've moved to a twice weekly format for the blog posts, where we have our team of writers and we all kind of map out in a staff meeting at the beginning of the month, and by staff meeting I mean fun hangout on Google+, that
we
get a little bit done.
Delve into talking
we usually
about Star
I'm
Wars.
Saying 10-12% is actual. Anyway, but
it's like another podcast.
It is, only just not recorded. But we do put that together, and I want to give a shout out to Mitchell's latest article. He does a great article called Midichlorians Explained, a fan's take on those controversial microscopic life forms. That's over on StarWarsReport.com. And also, Bethany, you wrote a great post on what we can be thankful for in Star Wars, and probably one of my favorite articles of the past week has been Searching for a Hero.
I need a hero. Goodness. I'd forgotten about that.
Who should the protagonist for Star Wars Episode 7 be? Searching for a Hero. That's by Pete Morrison from Lightsaber Rattling. Fantastic article. So that's the kind of stuff that you can get not only on our website each week, but you won't miss it if you sign up for the mailing list. And I like to feature that kind of written content on the podcast, because I know a lot of you guys just tune into the podcast from iTunes or Stitcher or the other places that we have it. Head over to StarWarsReport.com, because there's always some really cool stuff going on there. Last update is voicemail. It's very easy just to go to StarWarsReport.com now and record us a voice feedback. We'll probably be doing a feedback episode towards the end of the year, Bethany, I'm thinking, for maybe a year in review or look ahead.
Oh,
just kind of
a
call on you guys, the listeners. So if you guys have any questions or comments about what's going on in the show or Star Wars community, you can leave us your feedback by going to StarWarsReport.com. And over on the right-hand side, there's just a nice handy little button that you can click that will basically just prompt you with a way to click record. You record your voicemail. You can listen to it. And if you like it, boop, you hit and send, and that's from
boop.
That's how it goes. And that way you can send your voicemail feedback to us. All right, Bethany, I think that does it for all the announcements. We will get into the main part of the show in just a moment. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we need some breathing time. We need some breathing time for between segments, because when there's just two people, there's a lot of talking. And you have to breathe occasionally. But yes, let's get into it. I wanted to start this particular episode featuring an amazing woman, Kathleen Kennedy. There was a new article from IGN that featured heavily Kathleen Kennedy, and I thought it was fantastic. I had to give it a shout out on the podcast tonight, and made some very interesting points about the woman who's now in charge of Star Wars, essentially. That's the reality of what we face. And I certainly enjoyed it. And I know, Bethany, you just read it a moment ago. You're chatting.
I'm just giving them the link to the article.
At least keep the microphone handy. But I thought there's some interesting things. She's been on the Hollywood scene a long time, and she's worked extensively with some of the best directors out there, but she's not exactly a household name, at least not yet. She was part of Entertainment Weekly's 50th Smartest People in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. One thing that I find interesting is she does seem to be rather... I mean, not recently, of course, but rather unknown over the course of the past couple of decades, because she's been involved in all of these amazing Spielberg and Lucas and Frank Marshall films, and so anything from Who Framed Roger Rabbit?
Robert Rabbit.
Roger Rabbit to Back to the Future. I mean, classics up to the Kennedy Marshall Company. Her and her husband did The Bourne Identity. The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Hmm. All really good films. But an interesting thing is that she actually caught Steven Spielberg's eye while working on a production, as a production assistant on 1941. And anyway, so he brought her on as his personal associate on the 1981 film, a little old film known as Raiders of the Lost Ark. And so that was also her first collaboration with George Lucas. It was an Indiana Jones actually. So
wait, that was an Indiana Jones film?
Raiders,
I'm kidding. That's for you, Brian.
All right. But yeah, basically, she's worked with Frank Marshall in an extended fashion. She's worked on E.T., some really, really great... facts that I found very interesting. So I'll link up this particular story in the show notes. But what's interesting is she came on board, I believe it was June. Yeah, I'm looking at the article here. She came on board with Lucasfilm in June, so shortly before Celebration. George Lucas had been talking about retiring since he was making the press rounds for Red Tails. Now, with Red Tails, I really enjoyed the film, saw it, but when he was making those press rounds, that initially, that was when, I want to say it was his interview with Jon Stewart, where he talked about retiring, and that was January 2010, I believe. Yeah, 10, because that was Celebration 5's year, and so that was before Kennedy came on board, but that was when I first remember hearing the most recent talks. Now, of course, I kept hearing people say that George Lucas was going to retire for forever, but the first time I ever really was aware of it
He's been moving towards it for a while, where he realizes he doesn't want to spend every minute of his life on Star Wars.
Well, and then there was the Oprah interview, which you'll recall, where he mentioned how, I'm tired of all these fans. Why would you make something when they just hate you?
Not quite like that. But one thing that has always stood out to me from that Oprah interview was him saying that he's never experienced Star Wars because he's never experienced in the way that we have as fans.
I know. It's
anyway,
that interview was actually kind of tragic, if you think about it. The Oprah interview was probably a very good interview, though. The most revealing interview that I've ever seen with him. And to hear him be that honest about Star Wars fans and share his genuine frustration with, and I'll do the finger quotes, Star Wars fans, you know, who hate him and everything he's done since 1980.
Well, and controversial, I think the media highlights that more.
Yeah.
So when George Lucas isn't exactly a member of the fan community, as in he's not online, or maybe he is under some screen name, but he's not online conversing with a lot of people, so he will see what makes the headlines, and a lot of what makes the headlines is fans' outrage, stuff like the red letter media stuff.
Yeah, and I wonder to this day, I wonder if George Lucas has seen the red letter media reviews of any of his films.
I don't know, because if you're someone like George Lucas, you have to become tired of hearing that kind of thing said over and over about what you've created.
And see, I imagine it like this, because I always kind of fall into this automatic imagination or perception of George Lucas, to where he has people who run through, whom everything is filtered to him. So the important stuff gets through. But he's got to own a computer and a phone. And I mean, if I'm George Lucas, I would be interested in what these, I mean, Red Letter Media made a big splash with it, if nothing else.
Yep. Yeah, well, for one thing, it would be very time-consuming to try to filter that, so I think you're right about the team of people.
Yeah, George Lucas's entourage, and I remember seeing the footage of him walking around the floor at Celebration, where you would always see the people walking alongside him. But anyway, I say back to the article, talking about Kathleen Kennedy, this kind of drifted more into George Lucas. So it was June this year when she was named as... basically co-chair of Lucasfilm at the time, getting ready to take the place of George Lucas. And I remember hearing speculation from Jimmy and Jason on the Forcecast, and then a number of other places saying, the Kennedy Marshall Company basically had just set up a big deal with CBS at the time that was very lucrative. And people were wondering why Kathleen Kennedy would leave her own company that she set up, which is extremely financially successful and successful
to Lucasfilm. So it was kind of like her baby. Well, hers and a number of
others. And Frank Marshall, her husband. Yes. So, what was fascinating to me is when I heard that speculation, I gave it a little bit of credit. Back in the summer, I was just thinking, well, maybe there's future films on the horizon. But there was enough skeptic in me, even born out of the mere 3 years, 2.5, 3 years I've been involved in Star Wars fandom, I'm already jaded enough to say, that's stupid. Nobody's gonna make another Star Wars.
Even someone as convincing as Steve Glosson.
Which brings me, as often happens here on the Star Wars Report, back to Steve Glosson. But Steve used that as credibility to wield his naughty and obnoxious, but terribly convincing, case that he made that they're going to be more.
The thing is,
nine. Exactly.
Microphone drop. I never even for a second, even really late at night when you're tired and you're hoping and you're high on Star Wars.
There's
never
a song
even
about
for
that.
A second.
Late at night when you're hoping on Star Wars.
I never thought it could happen in the next several years. You know, I thought it would be 10 years, 15, even 20.
Well, and what things is that my own jadedness, jadiosity, if you will.
Oh, I like that.
I was so calloused already to believe purely the fact that there's no way they would make future Star Wars films. This is insane. The world would be upside down. It's just not going to happen. George Lucas, it's not going to happen until later in my lifetime. And it wouldn't, and I thought I'd already kind of unconsciously accepted the reality that even in the future, well, or even as we move towards the future, Star Wars fans of previous generations would no longer be here to see the continuing story, which is kind of tragic if you think about it. Those who grew up, who were maybe in their teens or 20s or 30s when the film came out, they're going to be aging. And I was thinking, if there isn't another Star Wars film for 20 or 30 years, and that's what kind of what I had accepted in the back of my subconsciousness.
Same
that's
here.
What I thought. So I say all that to kind of bring it back full circle to talk about when she came over. Logic dictates that if you just look at her company and you look at her and her successful career and then why she would come to co-chair Lucasfilm and then run Lucasfilm, it makes absolute sense. The most valuable property in Lucasfilm is Star Wars, and it makes absolute sense that they would be continuing the Star Wars franchise. Mm-hmm. But I don't know why I was so skeptical. Of course, now hindsight's 20/20, and here we are sitting weeks into the announcements that 7, 8, 9 are each coming, not five years from now, 2.5 years from now.
Let me ask this question of ourselves and you who are listening. How likely was it, really, How possible was it 3 years ago for, or 5 years ago for Disney to purchase Lucasfilm, for Kathleen Kennedy to be brought on? Are these like a set of miraculous happenstances that George Lucas fought for the past like 15 years setting it up?
I don't think so.
I don't believe that. But, on what end of the pendulum is it? Because I'd be curious to know, as we've looked at the history of Disney's to some degree and seen how they've moved towards expanding their company, expanding their licensure, expanding their list of franchises. But, how likely was it? Obviously, the purchase of Lucasfilm is a good idea, and Disney buying it, most people think, is a good idea because they have the money and the talent, and I think both companies will work really well with each other. But how likely was it? Because that's not, people have a tendency to not like change. And they like to hang on to what they've created. To see these large moves of Disney spending that much money and Lucasfilm consenting to be bought and George Lucas passing it on and then Kathleen Kennedy signing on to Lucasfilm. And to some degree, stepping away from her own company. It's an unlikely set of circumstances.
Yeah, it is. It is an unlikely hero, if you will. She was going to Tosche Station to pick up her power converters, then boom, her family died. No, that's, wait, that's kind of dark. But yeah, basically, in a recent video, there was the quote that George Lucas, I think it was the third in the chat series that they've been doing at StarWars.com, the official interviews that they did. Lynn Hale of Lucasfilm asked George Lucas if he had any advice for Kathleen Kennedy. And George said, I don't have to give advice to Kathy. She knows what to do. I mean, she knows better than I do. She has all the qualities to run a company like this to make it great. So I'm just going to read the last paragraph of the article from IGN. Again, we'll have this linked up in the show notes. Kennedy has kept her cards close to her chest since the announcement, but if we look back at some of her recent interviews, it's clear that she's got a firm grasp of today's landscape. She said recently in an interview with Collider, I do think the movie industry is changing. After the recent release of E.T. on Blu-ray, that was when the interview was conducted. She said, I've been doing this for a long time, and I love it, but I really want to know where all this is going, where the creative process is going, some of the things that are going on with distribution online across many different platforms and a wide variety of formats. I actually see it as a good thing, and I think it's very exciting. That's what's intriguing me. Hopefully, being at the forefront of figuring out what that might be. And of course, when this interview was conducted about the E.T. Blu-ray, one can't help but think that she was kind of subliminally referencing Star Wars when she talks about future future distribution.
Yeah.
In Kennedy We Trust is the thing. So Lucy O'Brien wrote that article for IGN.
It's a good article. One thing that's interesting to me is to see, on Kathleen Kennedy's part, her stepping from a role that, yes, was very important, and she had a hand in many important films in the past 30 years, many well-known and well-liked films. Uh-huh. But to see her move from a spot where, oh, her name's there in the credits, and you may have heard her name sometime, yeah, if you're a Spielberg slash Lucas slash Frank Marshall
fan. If you're a film buff, which I will be the first buff. I'll be the first to buff. I'm not a film admit. What I meant to say is I'll be the first to admit that I'm not the biggest film buff. But
now she's really stepping to the spotlight, and they seem to be approaching this, doing these so far weekly, right? They've done one a week.
Yeah, one a week, and the last one, I think, is this coming weekend or Monday, sometime like that. They're coming, and yeah, it's great stuff. That's the woman behind Star Wars. And so it's one of those industry-type things where you're seeing more and more women come to the forefront in fiction, whether it's Hunger Games or, there were the rumors that you would have a Skywalker female be the protagonist in the later Star Wars films, which I would be entirely in favor of. But also in our own world, you get kind of see women.
She could be named Lucia. You'd be sort of similar to Luke.
Lucy?
Yeah.
It's better than Lucy Skywalker.
Yes.
All right. I completely forgot where I was. But yeah, no, in our own world, you kind of see these women rising to prominent positions and kind of hopefully changing the face of Hollywood, because there's that rising tide I see on the fan community of how people are coming to not accept the traditional gender role that women have been forced into in cinema. That's our culture is progressing faster than movies are reflecting, and I think the success of the Hunger Games.
That's an interesting way to put it, because I was thinking, you know, as a female in this culture, I don't usually feel, oh, I'm hard pressed and discriminated against constantly.
All right, no, sorry.
But yeah, sometimes I have felt like media itself has a hard time catching up, and I think our laws and older establishments, companies, and the way things are done hasn't caught up with the internet and the technology and this upcoming generation.
Yeah, definitely. So there you go. Kathleen Kennedy, I think Star Wars...
Just a quick thing. I do think that Star Wars and Lucasfilm and Disney is moving in that direction. Again, with the videos, that's a good way to try and communicate with the fans. You're not just trying to do everything behind locked doors. Locked and closed doors. Did I mention they were shut and you were out?
All right. So, yes, women in Star Wars and women in the film industry on the rise. Lord Kennedy. Rise.
Wait. So if you have a female Sith Lord, is it a Sith Lady or a Sith Lord? I always did think that was curious in military fiction, how they will often address female officers still as sir, because it's an officer thing.
I guess.
And then that's not done in real life. But we had a cadet once, and I'm sorry, this is completely aside, but it was really funny. We had a brand new cadet in our squadron who addressed me as sir because he thought it was appropriate. Poor kid. I just do it.
Yeah, that's something that was around that in was the new Battlestar series.
Yeah. I noticed that. It was funny.
Yeah, it was odd. So, there
okay,
you go.
Okay. Aaron Gowen says it's Dark Lady of the Sith.
All right. Let's see. Heading along, let's go to a clip that I have prepared. It's an interview with Camille Paglia. And she's the author of a recent book that will be described in this clip.
She complained that the people in the class were
looking. All right, so here we go.
I wonder why.
Well, so the book is 29 essays on works of art as various as The Charioteer at Delphi and George Lucas's Revenge of the Sith. Uh-huh. How did you choose?
Well, my original plan was never to include George Lucas. It happened that I was looking for strong contemporary art to end the book with, and I couldn't find any samples of it. All I saw was good work that reminded me of 10 other prior examples of art from the last 200 years, which convinced me of just what a wasteland the current art scene is. I'm talking internationally. So I was watching TV and the Star Wars films again and again and again being shown on a cable TV channel, and I became obsessed with this great finale of Revenge of the Sith from 2005, film that George Lucas directed, and it's the last film made in the Star Wars series, but it narratively belongs in the middle. And I thought, my goodness, this is so powerful. This is like grand opera. It's like landscape painting from Romanticism. It's like apocalyptic destruction of industrial culture and politics. Everything going with this unbelievable dance theater of the longest duel ever filmed in movies. It's passionate engagement, you know, at a lava river between these two men, right? And I became overwhelmed. And so I'm saying, okay, and I will defend this, you know, to the death, is that this long finale of Revenge of the Sith is the most powerful and the most significant work of art in any genre, including literature, in the last 30 years.
I'm sure George Lucas will be happy to hear that.
Well, you see, I don't think
Did you get any blowback on that?
from, well, yes, people already complaining, Jar Jar Binks, this, that, and the other. It's so all these trivial. Please, okay, you can't just like pull out. You could go to like the greatest novels and the greatest plays, you know, of the past and find things you don't like in them. Good Lord. What, you know, the deficiencies in George Lucas's oeuvre, okay? You maybe like what, 5%? Even if you said 10%, you're still dealing with, you know, this man's a genius and he's not getting the kinds of attention, simply because of his commercial success, which is overwhelming. Also, he's very reclusive. He doesn't, you know, give, you know, interviews. And also, he's associated with having turned Hollywood, like Steven Spielberg, toward children's entertainment, toward the blockbuster. He's thought to be simply a purveyor of, you know, of kids' toys, and an unbelievable agreement with Lego. They dominate the world with these Lego sets, you know, priced in astronomical fees and so on. So I think that people have to just get past all that and really look at the fact that George Lucas is a world figure who has penetrated the imagination of young people, not really three generations now, all over the world.
Well, when archaeologists dig up the ruins of our society in 10,000 years, there will be a lot of George Lucas action figures,
yes,
among the rubble.
Yes.
All right, so yeah, that was Camille Paglia, and she's the author of the new book, Glittering Images, Why Does America Have Such Contempt for Abstract and Modern Art? Very artistic interpretation of the situation, but I definitely wanted to feature that on this particular episode because that really gives, that's a unique perspective on Revenge of the Sith that I don't really hear often enough, because I'm in the Star Wars fan community. There are plenty of Star Wars fans I've heard who will defend the prequels to the death, including myself. Well, maybe not death, as she describes, but I will certainly defend them past any certain level of comfort, and I, by all means, am more than willing to take up the sword of social media and tweet in the defense of George Lucas. I feel a little bit like Luke Skywalker when I'm doing that. I'm not going to lie. Anyway, the tweet of righteousness, as I mess up the audio equipment. So yeah, there you go. Well said to Camille Paglia.
That, to me, I haven't really looked at Star Wars as art in a way as much as,
yeah,
as a wonderful story, because that's what draws me to it. But visually, it's quite amazing as well.
Well, and I think that's what drew me to the particular article, because I don't really think of Star Wars as art, nor am I particularly appreciative of art, but the way she views Revenge of the Sith, she's been able to get past the Jar Jar factor and get to the Matthew Stover factor of the core at Star Wars. So it's one of those things where I will to this day defend that the prequels are fundamentally intact in terms of storytelling and plot and the grand nature of the tragedy that is told throughout the prequels. And, we talked about this on our last episode, episode 70 with Nathan Butler, and he compared it to the difference between tragedy and mythology, and the original trilogy is mythology. And the new trilogy, the prequels, are tragedy. So they're just not
the
same.
Which we
are
no longer able to refer to them as the new trilogy.
Yeah, well, we got another year. Well, that's true, because the new trilogy is already coming. So I guess, well.
Yeah, but to me, it again enhances the fact why we're here talking about it. Because we have fun, and that's how we got introduced to Star Wars, was through this medium of podcasting, which I thoroughly enjoy. I enjoy talking about Star Wars, but mostly I enjoy interacting with all of you guys. But what is Star Wars? Star Wars is just so huge. And we've talked about, it's this massive universe. And we've also talked about it's this wonderful story. It's full of characters that we can identify with and learn from. It's full of new things that we hadn't thought of, and it's imagination and it's curiosity. But it's also art. It's also amazing music. Amazing. Mm-hmm. It's also good literature.
I still maintain that the last two acts of the three acts of Revenge of the Sith are the best two acts in any Star Wars film. That's why those two acts are what makes Revenge of the Sith my favorite Star Wars film to this day, because you witness the raw emotional factor of Anakin Skywalker's fall. And, you know, when you're getting into the human condition of why someone makes the choices they do, in the case of Anakin Skywalker, it's the age old, young man being selfish instead of selfless. And he goes from hero to villain in that period of film. And, you know, people poke holes in it. They say it was too quick. They say they don't like Padme's dialogue. They don't like the "you're breaking my heart" line. You know, these things that, 5 to 10% this lady is talking about in the video. It's true. That's negligible compared to that. And you could go to Shakespeare plays.
Any artist, you're going to dislike something that he or she did.
Yeah, well, I mean, go to Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet, which I still remember doing the high school study, a homeschool co-op that we did. It's a group of us with that came together once a week to do a study of Shakespeare, and we did Romeo and Juliet. Wouldn't have minded a different one, but you know, it was interesting in reading it through as an early teenager trying to grasp Shakespeare and that kind of language that you do.
We had so much fun making fun of it too.
Yeah,
but still enjoyed
it. Think about it. Romeo and Juliet, there are fat jokes in Romeo and Juliet. This
there are
classic
worse
work
than that.
Of literature and worse, but I mean, poking fun of the nurse, comparing her to a great ship, which was a part moment that stuck out in my mind. Like, really? You're fat jokes? Shakespeare? Come on. I thought you're Shakespeare. I mean, come on, man. Step it up. But that's very easily comparable to some of the humor in The Phantom Menace. But I don't think that makes everything else negligible. And I think with Shakespeare, if you think about his audience at the time where he's entertaining poor people who come to a theater to be entertained, be part of the show, where they're, you know, being rowdy, drinking, throwing fruit on the stage, and the actors. I mean, it was a comical mess. Some of the Shakespeare plays, and you know, they're tragedies too, but there's a reason they're classic, and I think Star Wars has captured a lot of the same elements. And mm-hmm. So when you think about it artistically, I do think that the prequels hold up just as much as the original trilogy. I'm still the first person to say overall cohesively the original trilogy I think is still the best trilogy, but as a whole story I think it functions very much unto itself. And it's one of those things that leaves me slightly confused, I guess is the right word. Puzzled, I guess.
Leaves me puzzled
that people are so quick to write off the prequels and say, well, I'm glad that trash is gone. I'll tell you what. I mean, I didn't just hear it like with a few the first time. I keep hearing people repeat this mantra of how excited they are that we're getting 7, 8, and 9, and George Lucas can go die in a pile of money. He can choke on his own money and we'll have, you know, it's just astounding to me because as a story, Darth Vader is a one-dimensional villain that throughout all of A New Hope and into Empire Strikes Back just is a one note. I'm the bad guy and I come in and I mess you up. And he says it like a diva like that. I'll mess you up. No.
I'll mess you up.
I'll mess you up, Luke Skywalker.
Well, I guess to some degree, one thing that Mark is saying.
When you met me, I was a learner. Now I am the master.
Oh, goodness.
The Force is with you, young Skywalker, but you're not a Jedi yet.
And you never will be.
What? All right. Oh, my goodness.
One thing Mark is saying here in the chat is discussing the hate of different things or the intense and perhaps sometimes irrational dislike of things, as I shall rephrase it. But will this be hate for GL for selling out, or will they be mad at Disney for messing it up? Or will they be mad at George for letting it be messed up?
Or will they just be happy, which would be even more confusing to me.
No, but I think in the train here is that people do really like Star Wars, and sometimes they feel like things might get trampled on or get messed up, and so they get defensive about it. And I think part of that is the reaction of they're a little scared, a little fearful for how things might go.
Mm-hmm.
And Fear is the path to the dark side, as you know. So,
yes.
But and I think fear plays into it a little. I think also in this online fan community that we live in, things go by quickly. I mean, you're on Twitter, you're on Facebook, you're typing back and forth.
It's in the chat room instead of focusing on the podcast.
Yes. Yeah. Something like that.
Oh, my goodness.
But you're not truly learning about something. You're being briefly exposed to it and asked, and even in a way demanded, to make an opinion on it, because that's what all of your friends are doing. So without even really thinking about it, it's gut reaction, instantly go through with it. Not a, hey, let's take a look at this film from an, oh, gut reaction, wow. Or a, oh, gut reaction, I'm not sure about this because it's very different, but I'm going to give it a chance. So I think taking a step back and thinking about it critically is a good idea.
Critical thinking skills. Definitely. I absolutely agree with you, Bethany. And I, you know what? I think anytime the subject of Revenge of the Sith or the prequels will come up, you will get probably a 20-minute discussion out of it, which is why I put this in the show notes.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. And that's, and I'm not at all ashamed of that. All right. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, talking about my review of Star Wars The Old Republic, talking about some of the latest news for Episode 7. Some really interesting rumors hitting the mail, your feedback, and then we'll be gone. We'll be right back. Come back to the Star Wars Report. Again, finding excuses, any excuse I can to find to play Christmas music. Love me some Christmas music. All right, my review, and I'll make this fairly quick because we're burning through our hour very quickly. But I just wanted to say I did play an hour or so of Star Wars The Old Republic.
Tor.
S-W-T-O-R.
Pronounced as if it has two syllables. Tor.
Just like Revenge of the Sith did me in the theater. Tore me up. No. Okay. Yeah, right.
No.
All right. So I played it. Played about an hour. Decided to play as a trooper. Why? Because troopers are awesome. Enough said. Also because of the Hope trailer. Singularly. And I'm trying to remember the voiceover, and I can't remember any other voiceover but the original, "Our time has come.
You.
For 300 years, we prepared. We grew stronger. As you rest." Who wrote the dialogue to that?
That's fantastic. I don't know.
"While you rested in your cradle of power." See, that's what the Old Republic should have been. Oh my goodness.
But it wasn't.
You know, I'm not the biggest gamer, and I've said it many times on the show, but I wanted to give it a chance because I did, you know what? I thoroughly enjoyed the original Knights of the Old Republic game. I played that game. I played the lightsaber out of that game. And by lightsaber, I mean the weird vibro swords that since you didn't get lightsabers half the time. But no, a great score, great story, moved along. Game mechanics were very, very early 2000s, but that's okay. I really enjoyed it. And the Old Republic, I enjoyed generally, and it's a more fluid game than Knights of the Old Republic, but it just, here's why I didn't get more than an hour or so into the game, and that's just kind of my thoughts on it. It was really the story. It just did not capture, me at all. The trooper story specifically was very bland, and as I got in, I got my briefing, and I was going somewhere, and I was gonna do something, and I just kind of had to, see, I'm being very specific here, and I was going to, but it was very mechanical, and I didn't really get any sense of what was going, the way Knights of the Old Republic plays, you have a sense of mission and purpose after that first cutscene, and here that just didn't quite happen. Now, game mechanics were really fun, and it was fun to shoot around, And I really do think the story was going to pick up and the game, but I was an hour into it. It's one of those things where, in terms of just design and game mechanics, that kind of game where you have to invest hours and hours and hours into just doesn't quite work. But I think I will, what I'll do is I'll probably give it another try and give you guys maybe another update after I play the Jedi Knight, which I think I'll just try Jedi Knight or Jedi Healer and try that story and see if it's a little bit more grabbing and a little bit more simple. Because sometimes you get a mission and then there are five side missions as you move along and it just gets confusing. And I think that's when the game's kind of too far zoomed out instead of zoomed in on the character and story. Like I want to know who was important and why. And I was kind of, what I kind of got was more of a, here's a mission, go.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that was just a way of starting you off in the game with a, oh, hey, take the time to get the feel of the game, to get the style of the game, get really going on it?
I do, but I want to encounter the Rakgul Plague or something like that. You know, something that's very engaging and interesting. And it just didn't quite happen in the Trooper plot. But, you know, maybe it will in the Jedi Knight. I don't want to prejudge. Again, I haven't played a ton, but it was okay. Like I said, I'll definitely give that a try. But there you go. My review of Star Wars The Old Republic Free to Play. Guys, check it out at Star Wars, SWTOR, almost says StarWarsReport.com, SWTOR/free, because they don't charge anything now. Up to level 50, you can play whatever level 50
is. And our speculation on that happening relatively sooner rather than later. Well,
who was the first person to say it?
I think,
so I'm trying to remember. There was like an old podcast episode, and somebody said,
I believe you brought it up.
Oh, I did? I did?
Oh, okay. Goodness.
Oh, and by me, you mean Riley Blanton predicting handily months in advance that it would be, before the year was out, would be free to play, and it was true? Was that what you were trying to insinuate?
How about if you bump your camera down towards you? Yeah, towards you.
All right. Yeah,
there you go. Use your screen.
Are you looking at the chat again? All right, fine.
Yes.
So yeah, there it is. My review of Star Wars The Old Republic Free to Play. Go play it. It's free. It's fun. You know, who am I to complain? They're not.
And Aaron chimes in to read the books.
Just read the books, Riley. All right. That will be on my list. After Darth Plagueis, The Hobbit, let's say we'll make that number three. All right, cool. Because I know Annihilation just came out.
Well, when we spoke of, and again, it's the changing media and the median in which it's brought to us in, because you brought up that speculation, but then we used examples such as the Final Fantasy MMO, the Lord of the Rings MMO.
Oh, that went free to play?
Yeah.
And I'm yawning there.
I don't have a mute button.
I believe so, unless I'm mistaken.
I think so, yeah.
It for something else. But yeah.
All right. I'm going to exit out that segment and jump to News and Rumors, Matthew Vaughn to direct Star Wars Episode 7. This is a rumor from TheForce.net. Fresh off of the news that Colin Trevorrow is not directing Episode 7, actor Jason Fleming is spreading around rumors that Matthew Vaughn, who's worked previously on the X-Men films, will be directing Star Wars Episode 7. First Class. Get it? Star Wars Episode 7, First Class, X-Men?
Yes.
Okay. Jason Fleming was in an interview for a recent film that he did, Seven Psychopaths, and it was a bunch. The reason I did this, that's kind of his voice, and he's standing there. And I've watched this video clip. I'm not going to play it because it's too long. But he's standing there, and they're saying, "So what do you think of the Star Wars thing with Matthew Vaughn rumored?" And he was like, "Yeah, Matthew's that's going to be really cool, something." And it was vague, and you kind of caught it for a second. But it would have blipped right by, and it still could have been misinterpreted. You're like he said it wrong, or, you know, it came out wrong. But a second later, the guy asked a follow up question to Mr. Jason Fleming, and he said, and I will paraphrase. So what do you think? So what would you be excited if Matthew got the gig to direct it? It was something like to that extent, you know, saying, wouldn't it be cool if?
Yeah.
And Jason does that. He pulls back. He does kind of a sheepish grin. And he's like, it'd be really cool. And, you know, he did that kind of thing looking up and around while he said it in that very tone. Meaning that he kind of confirmed that he gave it away, which PR tip, Jason Fleming, just roll past it and let people just say you are misunderstood so that when you have to issue the press release that no, you're not confirming any or denying anything, it may or may not happen, possibly in the future or in the past, we don't know, then you'll be fine. But he kind of gave it away a minute or two later when they asked the follow-up question because he thought of his answer because his answer kind of gave it away. But it didn't really give it away. You get what I'm saying. So there you go. It's reasonable confirmation of the fact that Matthew Vaughn, director of the X-Men films and other stuff, I don't know much about him, will direct Star Wars Episode 7. I'll do some more research, especially if it's officially announced, which, you know, after this, looking at the way the rumors hit about Michael Arndt, boom, like 24 hours later, they're like, ba-bam! An announcement.
Well, and if you look at it, most of these directors, after the rumor comes out, if it's incorrect, they've been coming out pretty quickly, being like, no, it's not me.
Yeah, and because this was posted yesterday.
You don't want to have, you know, 3 million people online thinking that you're going to be the person to direct Star Wars. You want to stop that as quickly as possible if you know you're not going to do it.
Yes. So, yeah, there you go. Matthew Vaughn may or may not direct Star Wars Episode 7.
I don't know what his actual Twitter handle is, but it would be like, @MatthewVaughn, are you directing the movie? That would be so cool. What are you going to do with this and such of a character? Poor guy.
You do that.
How are you going to portray Mara Jade? Because, of course, you have to put her in the movie because she's an awesome character.
You know somebody's going to do it. Somebody's already saying that. All right.
You know you can't.
Lawrence Kasdan and Simon Kinberg could be writing Star Wars movies. News broke a few days ago that they would be writing what was assumed to be
Star Wars 8 and 9. Spin-offs.
Now, this is an update from Slash Film saying the imminent release of Star Wars Episode 7 in 2015 made everyone assume that Star Wars Episode 8 and 9 would follow in 2017 and 2019. That was a logical progression. But anyway, so as I said last week, news broke that Lawrence Kasdan, of course, writer of The Empire Strikes Back, people. No, that's not a movie. The Empire Strikes Back, people. It's back, comma, people. Anyway, you get the idea. Interesting that while that news was actually confirmed by multiple sources, Disney and Lucasfilm themselves have yet to announce it officially, but it's confirmed. Basically, Lawrence Kasdan is involved with the future of Star Wars in some way, which makes me happy.
Woo!
But anyway, the Hollywood Reporter, who just confirmed the news about Kasdan and Kinberg in the first place, reported in a surprising turn of events that their piece leaves it open to the possibility that they may not be doing 8 and 9, but may indeed be doing Star Wars spinoffs. It says, quote, their scripts could turn into official, quote-unquote, episodes in the main Skywalker line, or they could form as the basis for spinoffs focusing on side characters. So you remember Joe Johnson calling for a Boba Fett film?
Boba Fett!
And by the way, that was mentioned in our interview with Georgia. George,
oh, right.
Commander
yeah.
Cody himself. Actor's name is escaping me, unfortunately.
Oh, now that you said Commander Cody, I can't remember.
Jango Fett. I'm Jango Fett. You can use the old Google. But in our interview, he talks about how cool it would be to play Boba Fett again.
Tamara Morrison.
Thank you, Tamara Morrison.
Goodness.
I hate myself.
If you just hadn't said his character's name.
Sure. There we go.
It's been a long couple of weeks for me and Riley.
Yes, it has. So we've got a little bit of feedback left and a new segment that I'm introducing.
No. We're not moving from this topic without talking about what spinoff films we could do. Okay, Boba Fett is one of the
obvious one.
Obvious ones. Okay. Yes. What else do you think? When you think spinoff Star Wars film, Lawrence Kasdan, Disney/Kennedy/Lucasfilm, what do you think?
I think of a Mara Jade and Princess Leia Steel Magnolias.
Oh my goodness. Mark, where are you when I need you?
Ba-bam! I think I could see a... All right, I'm not even going to go there.
I could see it. They're still better off in terms of what's known to the general public. They're still better off in what's more publicly known is doing side characters from the movie. Or from any of the movies.
Boba Fett's your big one. Mm-hmm. Jar Jar, no.
Good Jar Jar.
But yeah, as far as side characters, I mean, I could see like some droid adventures. But you know,
theatrical Star Wars with Lawrence Kasdan, honestly, that's not going to be a droids episode.
Yeah, and I don't see
we
it
have the
being
Clone Wars for that
a spinoff. You don't bring Lawrence Kasdan on to do a spinoff movie. When I think spinoff, I think direct to DVD. I think lesser. Yeah. It's not the progression of the Star Wars canon in cinematic form. And I frankly hope they don't do spinoff movies.
Well, what if they were doing the regular like one in 2015, one in 2017, so on and so forth, etc. But what if they were doing other films along with it? So it's not a direct sequel or prequel to the films, but it's like doing, what are other films that have done this? It's like doing another Star Trek movie that would feature characters from The Next Generation.
See, I'm not in favor of that because I don't think that it's a good idea to go when you're bringing Star Wars back.
X-Men sort of did that.
Ah, that's a good example. X-Men Origins Wolverine instead of continuing the main. See, I haven't really seen any of the X-Men movies.
Right, but what if they did like a Wolverine-esque movie, Star Wars style?
It doesn't work. Here's why. Look at that. Why? You're so accusing.
Why?
Where were you the night of the 23rd?
No.
Here's why. Because when Star Wars is put up on the big screen, to this point, it's been a Skywalker story. So you already have a big enough challenge bringing the audience into the next generation of what will probably be Skywalkers. Yeah. They will still be Skywalkers. They just won't be Luke or Anakin. But if you think about it, George Lucas saying this tale of these six movies is the story of Anakin Skywalker. I really think that it works in tandem where it's Anakin in the prequels and Luke, because I think the main protagonist in a Star Wars film is the focus. He's the hero. And so it doesn't, Darth Vader's not the main character of the original trilogy. He's the villain. It's a big difference.
Okay, let's go on a premise of.
Allow me to respond briefly. Allow me to respond, Darth Vader breathing. Here's why it doesn't work though. Fundamentally, Star Wars needs to be the continuation of the Skywalker story. And if you have the big three featured in episode 7, that's your chance to introduce the new series and pass the torch. You have to do that. And, you don't need to be getting into this Boba Fett movie mess. That's the realm of video games and books. And I don't think it's financially successful.
Marvel made it financially successful.
I don't think it's financially successful for Star Wars and to do that in terms of theatrical release. Marvel's different.
Brian in the chat says, just a quick suggestion. Well, there's the Marvel format, which Disney is probably considering. Character-based side stories that culminate in a primary event film.
Okay.
See, I don't think it would culminate in an event film because it's already Star Wars. It's coming out. It needs to come big. Because everybody will be expecting so much from it. If it's like an introductory film, I don't think it will go over very well.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. Like in the chat, Aaron brought up, what about an Old Republic movie? And then as Brian said, what about the Marvel format where it's each character faced then is an accumulation? And I just don't think it works because Star Wars, works, I think, well as an ensemble cast. I think it's very important to have that kind of ensemble cast. And the Marvel films aren't, until you get to the Avengers, you have your main character and then you have small side characters who get a lot less screen time. I just don't think it would work well. No, I mean, it could, and I could be surprised, but really, I think we're most likely at this point.
Well, I think it's neat that we have so many possibilities to speculate on.
I guess
Star Wars is definitely not
limited. I'm enough of a Star Wars traditionalist to hope that, I'm becoming the very thing I hate. I'm just not realizing. No, I'm becoming the very thing I hate, but it's true. I actually really do believe that 7, 8, and 9 should have the... I hate using that word. Would possibly work well. I'll rephrase it a little bit.
You've gone too far.
I know. Would possibly work better as a passing of the torch from this generation to a new generation of ensemble characters that we need to come to know and love, that need to have those elements that makes a Star Wars movie great. And you know what makes an Iron Man movie great? Robert Downey Jr. Robert Downey Jr. is awesome, and he is the coolest Iron Man that you could ever want to see, and I would never want to see anyone else in Iron Man, nor do I want to see screen time taken up by a bunch of other people who aren't Robert Downey Jr. in an Iron Man movie. Leave Robert Downey Jr. to do his thing in an Iron Man movie.
I mean, I don't watch Star Wars, but she is more of a supporting character.
Well, yeah, and that's my point. Star Wars, when you're talking about Star Wars, I like the idea of it's not the Han Solo movie. It's not.
Yeah, but I think that they can branch out. I think 7, 8...
Well, they sure can.
I think 7, 8, and 9 will be a... I think it will definitely be... But you have... Films recently and companies recently have proven that with a good story, a good character, or a set of great characters, you can keep going because people will keep coming back for something that is really well made that everybody likes. I mean, you're seeing Spider-Man rebooted just years after it was made into movies, and it's still popular. So you're seeing things explored with X-Men, with, you know, The Hobbit being branched out to made into three films. I see the direction of filmmakers, these very successful fantasy/sci-fi filmmakers and their companies who are backing them, and they're branching out because they realize that it's popular if you do it well. People like it because people like good stories. So I think it's quite possible. But again, I do think that in some ways they will follow the ensemble cast because it is traditional and it has been, even when you think about the expanded universe and other, the comics, the Clone Wars, anything. Most of the time, not always, but most of the time you have an ensemble cast, and that usually works really well in the comics, in the books, in the Clone Wars, in just Clone Wars, if you remember the older one.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I think that they definitely have room to branch out.
I guess.
Yeah, you're being stubborn on this one.
No, I could see that. I could definitely agree with you on that particular one.
I would be very happy to see a Boba Fett movie, a Mara Jade movie. Mm-hmm. I would be happy to not Kent Hamner. No, I wouldn't like that. But, Kent Hamner, Jedi Master.
Kent Hamner, of the four Fate of the Jedi books I read, he was the most optimal. We should do a whole podcast dedicated to the character study of Kent Hamner. He's like, what if Jar Jar Binks became matured and a Jedi Master? Well, I don't know. Maybe. I just probably alienated a lot of listeners. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all the Kent Hamner fans that I just insulted. All right, so we'll break away from that. The discussion is ongoing, and we'll be back next week, probably talking more Star Wars Episode 7 rumors, and hopefully I like this kind of conversation where it's more in depth and we take a better look into what I think the Star Wars films must be, and I will be unbudging in my hard opinion. I hate myself.
Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. When you heard that there is a Star Trek movie coming out, the 2009 Star Trek movie. So in 2007, 2008, I realized that neither of us were particularly active in online communities, but we heard it was coming out. What did you think that it was going to be about?
I had no idea.
You don't remember, or you just didn't guess?
I don't remember, and I don't think I was really aware of it that much.
Yeah. I think that people really... Star Trek fans, I'll ask you and you can get back with us, but I remember thinking, a new Star Trek movie. Well, it's going to go back to the original characters, of course, just because that makes sense. And then I'm like, but I hope they don't mess up the original series because I kind of like that because I watched them all when I was
continuity
of
the Tribble episodes. And
I sort of like Kirk, but mostly I like Spock. And the doctor.
He's dead, Jim.
No, not that, Dr. Aaron.
Right on.
But yeah, but with Star Wars, it's kind of difficult in a way. You think, oh, they're going to follow the formula. But really, what is the formula when it's been completed in a way? Anakin Skywalker's story has been told.
And isn't, yeah, that's true.
And Luke's has been told to a large degree.
It's got to be a shift to movies. The new generation of characters to where the stakes have to be different.
They're calling you Darth Riley.
They can
chat,
be, oh boy. They can be, the stakes can be high, but I think the stakes need to be different. I think that if does that make sense? I like the idea of the films where the stakes are high, but it can't be the Emperor Reborn. It can't be Luke Scott. Frankly, it can't be the big three for all the next films.
Unless they completely reboot it.
And they're not going to do that from what we already know from Kathleen Kennedy and Michael Arndt. But
unless they're lying.
They're lying. It's a trap. But the thing about it, the stakes, I think, need to be different. And I don't think it works on that level because Return of the Jedi is the end of a mythology, the closing of the tale. And so it has to open a new chapter in the story. So anyway, we've got a lot to discuss on that, but we'll come to that later.
Quick side note for those of you in the chat.
Sure.
In a way, Riley and I are somewhat taking devil's advocate here so that we can explore the possibilities by having... We do this a fair amount when left to ourselves. Mark, where are you when we need you? But it's easier for me to think of possibilities if I actually have someone who's putting up blocks to possibilities. And I think Riley finds it that way as well, because that way our opinion is diversified and we have to come up with actual logical reasons behind what we're thinking instead of just wild, crazy thoughts of, let's have a Mara Jade movie. A trilogy, which would be fun, but it's not really that profitable, so it's highly unlikely.
I smell profit!
Right? You gotta take it from Hondo.
Yep, take it from Hondo, guys. There we go.
I've gotta go and run get a power cord for this computer, because it's gonna die.
Well, I'm about to wrap it up anyway, no worries there. And Brian said it well in the chat. Litmus test for being a Star Wars fan. Simple, if you answer yes to the question, do you like Star Wars? And that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. You know, I don't want to categorize.
There's a little bit of Star Wars for everybody.
Sure thing. And speaking of a little bit of Star Wars for everybody, let's jump to a new segment that I've designed that I like to call Yoda's Wisdom.
You must unlearn what you have learned. That is why you fail.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Yoda's Wisdom. Now, I had this idea this morning when I was actually at work, and I was listening to an interesting podcast called The Daily Boost, and it's a nice little 10-minute podcast. It's kind of a motivational type show, and he was talking about Black Friday. And so here's my idea for this segment, just so you guys know. I want to take about 5 minutes at the end of each show and kind of end on a little bit of real life, you know, because Star Wars is kind of an escape. It's fantasy. We enjoy it as a medium, but we can kind of bring back to what would Yoda do is kind of what I'm trying to say here.
Oh my goodness.
So here's my prayer thought. So this past Friday was, of course, Black Friday. Now this podcast will probably go up about a week after the event, after the event. Many Bothans died trying to get this HDTV. My goodness. It was, it's fascinating to kind of see, American consumerism today and the advent of Black Friday. Cause I remember growing up, here's the Yoda's wisdom. I remember growing up, and not really being aware of Black Friday until I was probably mid-late teens, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, and I became aware of the idea. And of course, back then, the people that my family was very prone to mercilessly make fun of the people who go out to purchase the deals on Black Friday. And so... I'm not going to do that here. I'm not going to just simply poke fun at people, although I'm tempted to, because I've never been out on Black Friday, never bought any Black Friday deal, and there's a reason behind it. But think about it like this: what would Yoda do? If you think it's a marketing thing that works, and so this year a lot of people started the Black Friday deals on Thursday night, and on Thursday night, it was very common mantra I would hear, all these greedy companies starting, they're cutting into family time, people are lining up Thanksgiving night, they're not even doing that. When I was a kid, not unlike Star Wars fans. And it's true, but you know, whose fault is that? It's not, if you're Walmart or Target, you get into this mindset of, you're going to have your deals. You're going to try to get people in your store. So you're going to open an hour earlier and an hour earlier until they're cutting into Thanksgiving Day. And it's just a thing. But for you guys that went out and got Black Friday deals, I mean, good on you. I hope you got a good deal. But it's all about mindset. And this is where the segment really comes home, where this is kind of, what I would envision Yoda saying. And it's just something that I've been thinking about. And when it comes to your mindset on Black Friday, there are plenty of good deals out there. You can save $400, $500, $600 on a huge TV. You can buy Christmas toys discounted. But why do people do that? Because really, if you're thinking about it long term, is it really worth camping out for hours to get the deal? And a lot of people say, well, yes, it is. I mean, I'm going to save a bunch of money, but it's a mindset of scarcity saying that I have to do this. I have to have really good presents. And you know what? Instead of just going out on Black Friday and waiting in line for 6 hours to get the TV for your dad that you know he would like for Christmas and it'll be a great event, instead of battling your way through the masses and the hysteria, stabbing each other for your prepaid phones, you know, I mean, you see this footage every year. It's astounding, and it just kind of darkens your soul. And there's always this big media coverage of it, and it's kind of sad. And yes, as the guest Matt just said in the chat room, WWYD. but think about it. Instead of doing that, I think you could instead spend the extra $100 and just save up for it throughout the year a little bit, or even better yet, just stay home and take 5 to 6 hours of inner contemplation to enjoy the holiday year as it's just beginning. Listen to some Trans-Siberian Orchestra music. And write a personal letter to your loved ones of choice, explaining to them dearly why you love them and enjoy spending time with them and what they mean to you in your life. And I'll tell you what, that'll mean a lot more than saving a few dollars here and there for the Black Friday deals, because really the store, the large retailers are just manipulating human psychology, and we essentially turn into fish that are being fed crumbs of bread. I mean, think about it. That's what we're becoming.
We'll put it this way. It's in a company's interest to have people come and purchase stuff. So you, as an individual, we should expect that that's what they will do and respect them for trying to earn money. And then make our own individual choice as to what we really want to do, not let somebody else make it for us.
Absolutely. Well done. That's what Yoda would say. WWYD. Let me know if you guys like that segment, because I kind of like the idea of bringing a little bit of our world into some Star Wars style wisdom. So, I mean, that's just something I'm thinking about it. And I'm a big fan of motivational and self-help stuff and personal improvement, that kind of thing. And that's why I thought it might be a fun segment to do each week on the show before we close out, which, as you guys can probably tell by the music, it's that time. So long, folks.
Farewell. Au revoir. Say goodbye.
I'm sad. Bethany, we've gone over an hour, hour and 12 minutes. We're into this episode right now, according to my recorder, which is quite an accomplishment. It's just the two of us sitting here having some fun, talking about the wars, talking about that galaxy far, far away. Thank you, guys, for those of you on short notice, you joined us in the live chat. For you guys who are interested, we're going to try to keep doing these every Thursday night, 8 p.m. Tonight was 9. We had to push it back a little bit. But since it's my Google Plus account that I'm using to do this, right now the way to do that is youtube.com/user/RileyIsRiley. And if that's hard to remember, Which, first of all, I just do that to remind myself, you know, Riley is Riley. just so I remember that. But, you know, anyway, that's the best way to keep up with us. If you can't remember that long URL, is to follow us on Facebook and Twitter. Both are facebook.com/StarWarsReport and twitter.com/StarWarsReport. And we give you guys updates on the latest news on the Star Wars franchise and, of course, what's going on here at the Star Wars Report.
Also, for those of you who are audio listeners, be sure and check out our video show at some point. I hope in a way that the people listening to this episode are doing it as a video show, because we made a number of sarcastic remarks and a number of very facetious remarks that in some ways you won't be able to tell if we're entirely serious or not unless you're watching us crack up.
There you go.
Video.
Yeah, I like the video's fun, and I'll usually, like, it goes automatically to my personal YouTube account. What I'll probably do is actually start just cutting these together, because, you know, it includes the pre-show and all that stuff. But I'll probably just start cutting out the pre-show and post-show and just upload it as a video version of the podcast and put that on our own YouTube page, which you can find. We don't have much stuff on there yet. But it's youtube.com/StarWarsReport, and we might put some more content on there as we continue. So there you go. Again, that's how you can tune in live. And as I mentioned, follow us on Facebook and Twitter. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, our mailing list, StarWarsReport.com/mailing list, is where you can sign up to get exclusively awesome stuff from the Star Wars Report, a weekly roundup of everything that's gone on the website, and in the future, super top secret updates of some ideas that I've been rolling around in my head, and you guys that are on the mailing list will be the first to know future projects that we get started and start working on. Again, go to the StarWarsReport.com. You can go click on the right side of the page, any page you land there. There's a little button where you can click our SpeakPipe application to record a voice message and, you know, give your thoughts on our discussions on Star Wars Episode 7 and how, over the course of about 10 minutes of discussion, I realized I was becoming the very thing I'd fought to destroy.
You can
Not
leave a message
unlike
say,
Anakin Skywalker.
You can leave a message saying something like this. Hello, Star Wars Report. My name is Beth Ani, and I'm here to ask you to please, please, show your Christmas tree more. What about the Christmas tree? You don't give him the spotlight.
That's right.
You don't give him a microphone. He just has to sit back there and listen to you guys talk the whole time. Voiceless.
Yeah.
Sad.
Poor Christmas
yet
tree.
Yet still shining his light.
Poor Christmas tree. There you go. I put it back in the shot. It was out of the shot. It's now back in the video shot for the remainder of it. Oh, my goodness. That's about to wrap it up. Again, leave us a voicemail on our thing, or you can just record something and email it to us. Our email is StarWarsReport@gmail.com. That's the way you can give us feedback. Got an email from Eric Dunhamel, a faithful listener, saying that he approves of Michael Giacchino. He would be a good composer for the new Star Wars films. And somewhat likely, since he's done stuff for John Williams before.
We need to have a segment on next episode's podcast talking about composers, because
my goodness.
You and I and a number of people on the Facebook page
had
this super long discussion about it a while
ago. We did, yeah, definitely.
Because both Riley and I are huge music fans. Music geeks, if you will. And
yeah.
We definitely like listening to soundtracks. And
yeah, if you guys ever tune in the
John
pre-show.
John Williams can't come back. God forbid. If John Williams can't come back for some reason, who would you want to see?
Yeah, good question. That does it for this episode of Star Wars Report. Thanks, guys, for listening. And remember, many Bothans died to bring you this podcast.
Bethany out.
Woo. And so it ends. Thanks, guys.